Beth's still an addict.
Hey,
still be having addicts here. I don't know what a home group is. All right, good. Well, my good friend D here, I think I met him here a couple years ago. He always meets me with a smile and a loving hug. And I'm grateful to know that anywhere I go, there's always somebody that I can see and that's familiar. Makes things not so uncomfortable. So, further ado, I'll give you D to speak on the home group.
I'm D, I'm an addict.
Hey, D.
Move this up a little bit. All right, can we take a moment of silence? I want to invite in my higher power to guide me through this. If we could just take a moment of silence, please. All right, thank you guys. Is everybody having a good day today? I'm pretty full already spiritually, man. I've been like overwhelmed in just about every workshop. And so for me to be up here today, it's an incredible honor. I was asked about a week ago to do this workshop and just to share a little bit of my experience. And that's what I'm going to do with y'all today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, where I came from, what happened, how it is today. And, you know, that's going to have a lot to do with the home group and my experience with the home group and what my perception of it is, you know. And that's all I want to share with you. I do want to say early on, you know, about I was in active addiction for 35 years. My clean date is July 28th, 2021. This is my third convention here at Out of the Darkness. I've been to other conventions as well. You know, I got to treatment straight out of jail, do my last 30 days. I've done about 17 years in jails and prisons. And, you know, I stayed high during that. I pretty much, not until I did a fourth step, and I honestly look back at my life from age 12 to 47, the longest period I could honestly, now it may be longer, you know, my perception and my memory has been a little changed, but it was about 62 days was the longest period I went in 35 years without putting something in my body. And this is a thing that I received through NA this life I never thought would be possible. You know, the first thing I want to say about home group is there's an old saying about home is where the heart is. You know, and I firmly believe that has in my life something to do with my home group. I'm going to tell you how that came to be. Like I said, you know, I was in active addiction for a long time and everything I did was about me. I want this. I'm going to do this. Everybody else, you know, I didn't really care about anything that happened to anybody. Now, I had many lies I believed along the way, but that was just my life, you know, and I had come to not trust anyone. And early on when I got out of treatment and I went to my first NA meeting, you know, that's where I got my sponsor, was at my home group. I want to point that out early on because I got my sponsor the first night out of treatment. I was scared to death, you know, scared. I tried a few years before going to meetings to stay clean when I was in a sober living facility. I did that as long as I was at that facility, but when I left, I ended up, shortly after that in a coma. There's me, that was how the last 10 years of my active addiction were. I was homeless, so that's an interesting thing, you know, homeless. So I found a home in NA. You know, that's a huge thing for me because the idea of a home, after I look back at that, I could say I never felt like I had a home since I was a child. And that was my parents' house, you know, and there were times where that did not feel like a home. It ended up being throughout my life where I'd stay as a transient, even in apartments, you know, that I was, half the time I'd manipulate someone else to be on the lease because I knew I wasn't going to be able to manage that. But I'd always get my parents or somebody else, women, somebody to co-sign for me because I knew I wasn't going to be able to be responsible for that, and something was coming, and it was bad. Now, you know, those were the things that I had to live through, you know, and I don't know, thanks to higher power, I'm still here today, but, you know, I've been, my addiction led me to a bottom that had bottoms, and I just kept going down. I called the woods my home, you know, when I lived in the woods. I've lived in basements. Without people knowing that, you know, at the time I was in somebody's basement for about a week and I thought, this is going to last forever. It didn't. You know, and those were some of the better times of active addiction. And I called jail and prison home many times. And it was the safest place for me many times because I knew, you know, in jail or prison, at that point, I knew I could get high a little bit. I didn't have to work as hard as on the streets. You know, now I couldn't get as high as I wanted, but I could manage to get something all the time because everybody knew me. And we always found ways and I always put my energy into making sure. And, you know, that led to me to be called things like, or I came to believe what I was told, which, you know, like a convicted violent felon with a history of violence. An addict drug court in my hometown turned me down, and I know of only three people that were turned down because the DA and the judge said, no way, man, you just get in there and mess everything up. There's no hope for you. Well, NA worked for me, at least so far, and it is today, you know, as long as I work this today. So I just want to start with that. Let me read y'all a little something about this is what I've heard a lot when I go, you know, to meetings. At the end of just about every meeting I go to, and I've done a lot of asphalt recovery and going around, at the end they'll be like, what are the three things they want someone to tell me about sponsorship? Tell me about home group, and then the 12th tradition. So if those are three things, you would think that that home group might be a pretty important part of a program they're trying to, you know, let us know about. And it is. It has become for me. A home group is a meeting where you are comfortable and one you can attend regularly. I was not comfortable at my home group when I first went. And, you know, I didn't know the things that were happening while I was doing them. You know, I came to examine them later. Like, I made a decision to become part of my home group. When they told me I had to go to the chairperson, I heard that in the meeting, like, just go to the chairperson. And they'll say, and sign your name and celebrate birthdays. Man, that took me like a week to get up the nerve to go talk to them because I was like, I don't know if I want to commit to that. I don't know how long I'll actually be here. You know, because I was already making plans. My disease had me already making plans for, let's get the fuck out of here. And I didn't trust anyone. You know, when I first went to my home group, which was newcomers in Hohenwald, that was my first home group, and I was loved on. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? To me, it was one of those things where people hugged me when I came in. Not just one person, many people. They would look at me when I couldn't make eye contact, but I knew they were looking at me. I was watching everybody. I wasn't looking in the eyes because where I came from, if I was looking in the eyes, that meant we're getting ready to engage in something. You know, and that's how it was. And so when people were looking at me, I was like, what do they want? You know, will they come over and smile and hug? And I was like, I'm going to figure out what they really want here. I thought people that had a year, you know, or more clean were drug dealers. You know, I was like, those are the ones selling drugs to the rest of us. I had some crazy thoughts, you know, and that's because I was sick, and I still am. But, you know, this is another one I like, where committed members focus their sharing and carry the message to the addict who still suffers. I love that. You know, what did I learn through my home group once I became a member? I learned how to trust, first off. Learned how to be honest, you know. I think one of the most important things for me to say about a home group, you know, is this. It was a safe place for me to start practicing the spiritual principles I learned through the steps. What does that look like? Well, I could actually start, you know, when I first got in there, I wouldn't tell people too much about myself because I didn't know anything about myself. I tell them, you know, yeah, I've done that. As I said earlier, I've done a lot of time because I thought that's who I was. You know, and then as, you know, time progressed, my perception of who I am today, so much different. You know, I love me. I love me today. When I came in the rooms, I hated myself. And I pretty much hated everybody who was in there. But it's a lot different today, and I'll get to that. So anyway, let's get back to how am I practicing spiritual principles. I'm going to tell you an experience I had, and I think it was about 60 days clean. And I was talking to my sponsor one day, and he was like, you know, why are you sitting always in the same spot in the meetings? In the back. I said, dude, I can watch the doors. You know, somebody's coming in that door, I know who it is. And nobody's getting behind me. My back's to the wall. That's how I live. He said, well, I want you to do something different. I was like, okay, what's that? He goes, well, we're going to start, we, Now, you notice how he said, we're going to start moving around the room and sit in different places. He goes, I sit at this place, but you know what? I'll move around to you. We'll just come over here and we'll sit here. And what we're going to do is we're going to work our way up to the main table. Not only that, we're going to work up to where our backs are to the door. Now, that may sound like a big deal to y'all, but I was like, you got me fucked up. I ain't doing that. I ain't giving nobody my back. Well, it took about 2 weeks, you know, and at that point, I was doing what I was suggesting. I was going to meetings, I was listening, and I was paying attention. I was a student about what other people were doing, but it was always for the wrong reasons. And I didn't know this love and these things I was hearing in meetings. And people openly and honestly shared that home group. I started noticing that. I saw tears, and I was like, that ain't fake. You know, that's some real stuff going on. That touched me. That created something in me. Those seeds that were being planted in my home group were starting to, you know, get watered spiritually, and they were starting to do something inside me. But anyway, I was in this home group, you know, started doing something a little bit different. I remember moving those seats each time I'd go, and it was really uncomfortable the first couple times. Sitting here, just because it was different, it was something that I thought I didn't need to do. But when I did go and do those things that were different, it got a little bit easier. It was hard the first time I sat with my back to the door. But you know where I was? I was in a safe place. And for me to even get to that point in that group was a huge deal for me. Because I really knew nobody was coming in to stab me. You know, nobody was coming in to do anything bad to me. And it was really an eye-opener for how I really looked at things. So that little action, see, that's another thing I learned from this group and through this program. It's an action program. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it. That's the saying I learned somewhere else. But anyway, it applies there as well. You know, my home group introduced me to something that I absolutely love, and it's service. You know, at my home group, my first home group, I remember the first time I was asked to do H&I, and it was to go to the jail. And I was like, hell no. You know, I've been there. I haven't been in this county, but pretty much anywhere from Knoxville to Bristol, I've been in that county jail. And so I was like, you know, I don't think I want to do that. And then my sponsor's like, why? You know, I thought you were going to take my suggestions, and so far you've done every single one. And I was like, fine, motherfucker, yeah, we'll go do this. And actually, I think that was one of the first people that I went to do H&I with, because he was really nervous about it, and I wasn't nervous about going in until they shut that door. You know, but when I got in a room with some guys brought from the pod, I didn't know it, but I had a message to share, and I got to. There wasn't a single person in that room that I was like, man, I was so happy to see them. I was so just like happy about where I was and what I was doing. And the fact was, I was honest with them. And I told them a little bit about what was going on in my life. That was at 6 months, you know. And so I started doing that. I took another service position doing marketing for events where we got the T-shirts and everything. And that was another one of those. You know, I'm holding the money. Like, what's wrong with these people? Well, there was nothing wrong with those people. And apparently, it was something that, I needed to do. Because I never once had an idea even of doing anything different except for what I knew I should do, which was right. That was interesting. Other things I did in my home group was, you know, any activity, man. I remember when it floods sometimes. Going in there and getting, see, that was not how I felt the first time. But when I got to go mop, I remember one time running over to my home group to get there first because I wanted to get that place cleaned up. You know, I knew a meeting was going to happen. And I wanted to. It wasn't because somebody else was doing it or anything like that. Matter of fact, there's some other people who weren't wanting to. But I knew it needed to be done. That was a different thought for me to have. And it was one that, man, it brought joy to me. Especially when I was in there working and other people were getting in there and we're doing it together. See, that was a big difference. Was I always tried to do things. I did. But in the home group, we did things. I never did anything alone. It was always together. It was always with another addict. And, you know, I have a real different life today as far as how I meet people and what I want to do is spend time with them. I never wanted to spend time with anybody. You know, I didn't know how to spend time with somebody. And so when I would go on Asphalt Recovery with a bunch of addicts, hop in a vehicle, and they're all carrying on a conversation, you know, at first I had to just, I thought, I was really judgmental at first. And I remember what they were saying. I was going like, bullshit, liar. And, you know, then they started engaging with me, and I really didn't have much to say. It took a little while, and the thing was is that's because that trust was building. For the first time in my life, I was seeing people who actually loved me and cared about me, and I was trusting little by little. Well, that grew. That grew over the time, and coming back and keep on doing it, you know, and getting invited to things. And then if I wasn't invited to something, well, fuck them, you know. Like, I had a real issue with that. But the thing was, I didn't, you know, my disease was telling me that, my sponsor pointed out, he said, hey, did you go and ask them if you could help? What? Why would I ask them? Yeah, that's part of this too. Is, you know, no one's going to know your desire to do something unless you speak out about it. I was like, huh, that sounded crazy, but I tried that. And just about any time I've been ever gone and said, hey, can I be part of, boom. They're like, hell yeah, you know, come on in, the water's fine. And so it was like that. And so I learned a lot of good things about a home group while I was at Newcomers. Well, you know, I'd been there for a while, and I had had my first relationship developing with a woman in a long time, ever, honestly. When I started seeing her, I'd seen these other relationships that people had, and talked to them about it, and they gave me some insight. And these were home group members, see. I was getting all this experience from people in my home group. And I was asking them questions about, like, well, should I do this? And they're like, no. You know, take it slow. I had a long-distance relationship for a year, you know. And as that grew, as we started off, I said early on, I'm working on my recovery. We may be able to see each other once a month. You know, let's start off like that. After we've been friends for a while, we just started doing that, you know, talking a little bit. But we started doing that, and it grew, and it got to the point where after I've been dating her for a while, I wanted to spend more time with her. And I had been, you know, I'd gotten out of this peer program and had been working there and everything, and it had been building my foundation daily. And so I started going to visit her. Now, I didn't mention I don't have a license still to this day. It's been 8 years since my third offense, DUI, which I've actually had 8, but, you know, this is the third one that they actually convicted me on. So, you know, during this time, she would come and get me, and I'd go up there, and I told her early on, if I'm going to Cookeville, I need to go to meetings because I need to know that I have recovery there. I wasn't going anywhere that there wasn't going to be recovery there for me if I needed it, because I always need it. So I'd go to meetings, and I also had come to love Asphalt Recovery. These are all the things that people in my home group taught me. None of these ideas did I come up with. The things that are good for me today were shown to me through this program, through my home group, through people with experience, people with hope. People had true love for this program. And so that grew on me, you know, and these seeds got planted, and I watered them with y'all. I went to conventions. I did Asphalt Recovery. I went to meetings all the time. I got involved with service. So as I went up to Cookeville and was going to recovery first, yeah, that's my home group in Cookeville now, you know, I really liked this group, man. I went up there and went in, and I'll never forget, there's this dude, David F., and a shout out to him, because just this week I called him. You know, when I was asked to do this, I asked 3 different members of my home group what a home group meant to them. He's got 26 years clean, and you know, what did he say about it? He said, you want to know what I think about my home group? It's my home group. So we do this together, but this is my home group. And then he went on to tell, at first I was like, fuck you, it's mine too, you know, but he went on to tell me about the history of the group now I'm now a part of over the last 26 years, and how there was 3 of them at one point, and that they were about to shut down as far as a meeting, and the things that had to be done and how this meeting started and that meeting. All these benefits that I get. I found out how they fought for them. And man, I had the best conversation with that dude the other night because of this thing that's happening right now. I got asked to speak to this, so I asked somebody a question, and they gave me something that, man, it was such spiritual food and such a good conversation. I'm still excited about it. I can't wait to get back and be like, hey, man, guess what? But anyway, so when I got up there and I was visiting, you know, I was going to this meeting, and I thought, man, they got two meetings in this town. And so I started going and checking out both of them, and then I moved there. And when I moved there, I immediately let them know that I was joining their home group, and they were so welcoming and all this. And then I asked some questions. I just moved up there and was like, what kind of H&I are we involved in around here? Oh, what's H&I? Shit, I was scared. Because H&I had become a big part of my recovery, part of what I thought I had to have. You know, then I said, okay, well, what do we do as far as part of the area? Oh, we're not part of the area. It's been 20 years since we're part of the area. I remember that conversation I had with somebody I called that night to ask him about, in my old home group. I said, bro, I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I don't have a car. I can't drive to another city. They aren't part of this. He said, wait, whoa. You found your home group. So what's wrong? I said, they're not this, they're not doing this. He said, have you been to a business meeting? I said, no. He goes, go to a business meeting and ask some questions. All right. So I thought, fine. And let me go back to this. There's a lot of things that I did in my recovery that when someone suggested to me, I went, fine, I'll show you. And so I end up going and doing it, and something great comes out of it. And later on, I'm like, thank you. But, you know, my initial thing is, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, that still happens quite often. But so I went to a business meeting, right? And I asked some questions. And they said, well, if you want to start H&I, awesome. You know, there's a bunch of people, and they all were like, one guy brought up, said, what is everybody? They're group conscious, all this stuff happened. They said, what do we need to do? Ask me. I don't know. You know? So I didn't say that. Of course, being the good addict that I am, I'm like, I'll let y'all know next week. You know? So I went back and I called some people. You know, and they said, get a handbook. We have all the answers, all these addicts have done all this experience, all the works right there, and here's all these people in your sponsorship family who do it. You've got all the tools. So we went in and talked to them. We started doing H&I. We got a subcommittee together. We went through all the things. Well, we weren't part of the area, but we got the H&I started. From us doing that as a home group, everybody started, like the group started growing. People who hadn't been there for a while, who had a lot of clean time, started showing up. People started wanting to say, what are we going to do next? I don't know. I did know. You know, we got to be part of the area. We went back to area. We joined back with the area. We've had events since then. We had our first New Year's Eve bash this past New Year's Eve for the first time, I think, in 15 years. Man, the thing about it is that the unity in that group was already there. You know, there were people helping each other for doing it the NA way, but there were just some missing elements. But the thing about it is that all I had to do was become part of. And the things that I needed from my old home group, they're there now. You know, and it's still growing, and we're still doing a little bit more. Man, I'm just super honored to be here and be part of this convention. Like I said, man, it means so much to me coming in here and all the things I get out of it. But being able to stand up here and give back a little bit to talk about home group is just an amazing thing. I was just sitting here looking at everybody in here and just thinking, you know, how did this happen? How did this happen that I'm standing up here today telling you about my home group? Because when I first went to meetings and people would talk about home group, I thought it was a ridiculous topic at first. Like, what's the big deal? You know? It's a big deal to me today. You know, like I said, I didn't have a home. Jails, institutions, all those places. This is a place that I go to. You know, when I first moved up there also in my home group, I want to tell you this. I walked in, when I moved to Cookeville, I had a job lined up at a rehab. I had been going up there and interviewing for weeks, talking to the people. Everything was good. I moved up there, and the day before I was going to start there, the lady calls me and said, I'm sorry, we changed our mind because you don't have a license. We're hiring this other person because we really need someone to be able to drive clients somewhere. It's like, what the hell am I going to do? Well, I called my sponsor. I went to a meeting, and I talked about it. You know, my home group. A guy said, man, that ain't no big deal. Come by here tomorrow and talk to them. They're hiring right now. That's where I work. And, man, they'll love you and give you a job. They did. I'm still working for that same company today. You know, I've actually had several promotions, a lot of good things. The people who own the company, I absolutely love them. You know, that wasn't someplace that I planned to go. I got out of the way when things changed. And I talked to the group. And man, you know, my higher power worked through people in my home group to put me exactly where I needed to be, to get exactly what I needed to be here today. You know, and isn't that amazing? Let me talk a little bit about something else that I learned at my first home group that has been very important, was traditions. You know, the guiding principles, we had some book studies of the guiding principles at newcomers, and so when I went up and I mentioned, you know, some of the literature, some of the people, they didn't know what I was talking about, especially traditions. I was in this group and I was talking to them about, do you work a tradition with a step when you start off, or when do you get around to traditions with your responsees? And they're like, we don't do any of that. And I thought, oh shit. And see, I just want to explain that this was like the first person I talked to. There were other people. A lot of times, if I ask one person, I get an answer. My disease tells me, that's it. Especially if it's something I don't want to hear. That's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. You know, screw this. Burn it all down. You know? Now, what I did was I talked to other people. And there's a lot of different ways. Because, see, in my home group, there's people who work recovery all kinds of different ways. And I really like the saying, you know, what works for your recovery might fuck me up. You know, everybody's recovery looks different on them. There's the basics that we have to apply through this program and it's designed, but you know, I like how there's guidelines, there's suggestions. But with the traditions, you know, I was told early on, the steps will get me clean, the traditions will keep me clean. That was one thing I was told. Another was, the steps teach me how to live with myself and to love myself. The traditions teach me how to live with the rest of the world. And I thought, damn, I need those in my life because I haven't been able to live with the world ever. Today I'm an asset to the company I work for. I'm an asset to my group. You know, there's things outside of the fellowship that I participate in that I'm an asset to. I'm in a wonderful relationship with a woman I really love. You know, I said those words in the past and I didn't mean a damn word about that in past relationships. And I usually only say if they're around, like, no, I love you. But, you know, it's the truth. And the thing about it is that this has all come about from being part of. If you don't have a home group, you're homeless, right? You ever heard that one? I looked up this definition because that's something I was taught through my sponsorship family and working the steps as well about definitions. It was explained to me early on that, one, I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about to myself or anyone else. The language I used during active addiction had gotten so distorted. I didn't know how I felt. I didn't know what I meant. And there was no language that I was using that was going to express it because I didn't know what the words meant I used. So I started looking up words, and I still do that to this day. And, you know, the cool thing about it is I get to pick the definition that I mean of the word that I'm using. So I saw this earlier. I just looked up homelessness. It's the situation of an individual without stable, safe, permanent, appropriate housing. And I like this one too. Or the immediate prospect, means, and ability of acquiring it. And that's just talking about a home. But you know, that applies to me about my home group. You know, it needs to be someplace stable. Meets on a regular basis. Someplace that I can go to and be part of for that. Safe. Man, I have yet to be to go to an NA meeting, event, anything that it's not safe for me. You know, there might be things going on, but I know the things that I don't need to be part of today. And if there's danger, it usually has something to do with me. If I, you know, honestly, if we look back at it, if there wants to be some fucking danger, I'll probably be the one starting it. But, you know, I don't do that today. Means and ability of acquiring it. You know, ability of acquiring it made me think about willingness. You know, do I have the willingness today to go and be part of a home group? Do I have the willingness to do the things that require me to serve that home group? What does that look like to me? It means showing up. Having a voice. Being honest. The spiritual principles I was talking about at the beginning of this, that I get to practice integrity in my home group. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, I show up. I love my home group today. You know, like I said early on, actually, man, newcomers will always be a home group of mine. You know, and the group that I have today, it will, because it's my first home. You know, it's sort of like, I guess, what somebody, I've heard people talking about going back to see their childhood home and the great memories and stuff. Mine from my actual childhood burnt down, so I can't go and look at that. But I get that idea. If you had good memories of growing up in a home and you went back and looked at it, well, I get to go back and live in my first home group every time I go. I don't have to ask to borrow the keys. I got a key to my home group. And I believe that's going to stay the way it is always. You know, because I am part of today. I'm part of my home group. I love it. I do believe if you're not part of a home group, you're homeless. And man, what a state to be in. I don't want to be there anymore. So that's what I'm going to keep doing, is keep coming back and being part. That's all I got.
My name is Chris. I'm definitely not.
Hey, Chris.
So we got till 3:15. Is there anybody in the room that wants to come and share about a home group?